بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. This evening, this is going to be our 31st session, reading from the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and the explanation of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz Rahimahullah. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we are going to be looking at next to the last chapter of this book. Before we do that, we're going to just review quickly some of the matters that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 30. The first question being, briefly discuss two important matters contained in this chapter, as mentioned by the Sharih, the explainer of the text. Two important matters that are contained in this chapter. Two important matters contained in this chapter. Allahu Akbar. Talib.
Honor in the Sahaba.
No, excuse me?
Honor in the Sahaba.
Okay, the excellence and virtues and the high status of the companions. Another matter? Yeah, that this chapter contains a refutation of the Rafida, Shia, and also the Nawasib. And that is important because Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah intended, by discussing the excellent, the virtues, and the high status of the companions, to refute those who criticized them, who condemned them, who spoke ill against them. Second question from the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah is that there are two things are safe and sound when it comes to the Sahaba. What is it that is Salima when it comes to the Sahaba? Naam, Ameen.
Their hearts and their tongues.
Meaning, their hearts are free of any ill thoughts or beliefs about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their tongues are also free of speaking anything ill concerning them. The third question, why does the Shari, the explainer of the text, say that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah love the Sahaba? What is the reason for which they love the Sahaba? Naam, Mahmood.
Because they were the carriers of the religion?
Because they are the carriers of the religion. They are the people who brought to us the shara, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
Speaking ill on them is the same as speaking ill on the Prophet.
Okay, that's true. But as far as why is it that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah love the companions? From amongst the reasons is because they are the people who conveyed to us the deen. Naam.
Yeah.
Help me with your name.
Saad.
Huh? Saad. Okay, Saad.
Now, they are the best generation.
And because they are the best of the generations of this ummah. They are the best of the Muslims, the best of the people, of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So loving them is the essence of this deen. It is critically important that we understand the importance of the station, the position, the status of the companions, and that we have love for them. They are the people who conveyed this deen to us. They are the ones who transmitted it, who passed it down accurately, who dedicated their lives to protecting and preserving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this deen. Question number 4. The Sharia, the explainer, says the tongues of Ahlul Sunnah are safe from harming the Sahaba, which entails what? What does this entail? When he said their tongues, our tongues are safe from harming the Sahaba. What does this entail? Naam. Zaki?
Yeah. Our tongues are safe concerning them, so we do not assault them or criticize.
So we don't assault, we don't speak ill of them, we don't criticize them. What else? And what else? Somebody else. Naam. Zakaria. Huh?
We don't try to find faults.
We don't try to find faults with them. What else? We pray for them and we ask Allah to be pleased with them. Naam. Question number 5. In summary, the Sharia explainer of the text says it is mandatory to love them Yani a series of points that he mentioned. It is mandatory, yani al-wajib, and it is obligatory upon us to love them for what? For the sake of Allah. What else? Besides loving them for the sake of Allah. He said also, at-taraddi anhum. Yani that we ask Allah to be pleased with them. When we mention them, we say, radiya Allahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with them. And also, very importantly, yani al-kaf an, yani that we restrain ourselves and hold back ourselves from speaking about yani whatever occurred between them, yani the conflict or the fitna that occurred between them, that we don't speak about these things. And he also said that what is obligatory upon us is to have iman in the fact that they are, yani that they are the best of the generations of this ummah, and that the best of them is, the best of them are who? The best of the Sahaba are? Before the ten, yani from amongst the ten. Abu Bakr, the four, the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin, yani the four Khalifas, Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali. Question number six, it is necessary to be free from the path of the Rafida, as well as from the path of the Nawasib. Yani how did the Shaykh describe in this statement, the Rafida? It is, yani, necessary, incumbent, obligatory upon us to be free from the path of the Rafida who, how did he describe them? Rafida, those who what? Naam. They curse, they harm, they insult and abuse the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Nawasib are those who speak ill of the family of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, they have set themselves up against, yani, in opposition to the Shia, who exaggerate in their love for the family of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Nawasib will oppose them, and they will hate, yani, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number seven: who are three people promised paradise mentioned by the Shari' explained of the text besides al-Ashara? Three people that he mentioned besides al-Ashara. And by the way, there are lots of companions that we know who are also promised paradise, but he mentioned three. Who are the three that he mentioned? Zaki. One.
Thabit
ibn Qais. Naam. Ibn Shammas. Radiallahu anhu. Naam, Zakaria. Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu. One more he mentioned. Naam, Adam. Uqasha bin Mihsan, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And here, I want somebody to offer me a fourth or a fifth from the people who are famous that are known that they were promised paradise in their lifetime. Naam. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. What's wrong with that answer? The question said, besides the Ashara. He's one of the Ashara. Now, besides the Ashara. Now, who's that? Somebody I can't see. Okay. Bilal. Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I heard the sound of your sandals in front of me in paradise. Now, who else? And who would be the leader of the women in paradise? Huh? Don't guess, please. Anybody know for sure? The daughter of the Prophet, Fatima, radiallahu anha. Who will be the leaders of the youth in paradise? Hassan and Hussein, radiallahu anhum. And besides them, there are many companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anha, that are mentioned in authentic hadith, that they will be from the people of paradise. Question number eight, what is meant by, from amongst them is the brother of Ali. Who's the brother Ali that's promised to be in paradise? The Prophet said, I saw him with wings, with two wings, flying with the angels in paradise. Who was the companion whose arms were cut off? Brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ja'far. Ja'far. Naam. In any case, let's finish and get to tonight's topic. What is meant by Bay'at al-Ridwan? And what did Allah say about its people in Surah Al-Fat, 48th Surah, 18th Ayah? What is meant by Bayat al-Ridwan? What does this mean, Bayat al-Ridwan? Naam.
Bayat al-Ridwan was the 1400 or so people that made Bayat al-Fat, and they were in Mecca, that they won't leave until they got out of the
طيب, the 1400 people who gave the pledge to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that they wouldn't leave until they avenged Uthman, who it had been, the rumor had been spread that he had been killed. And so they pledged to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم underneath the tree that they would die. They pledged to die to revenge Uthman رضي الله عنه. And it's called Bayat al-Ridwan because of what Allah said about them in the Surah al-Fat. What did He say? Now here we need some Hufaz of Quran. لقد لقد رضي الله عنهم يعني لقد رضي الله عنهم إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed, certainly, was pleased with them when they gave the pledge to you underneath the tree. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, yani with certainty, definitiveness, that He was pleased with them. And He mentions that He knows what's in their hearts, which means that that pledge was not just a word spoken, but it was sincere from their hearts, that they intended to fight and to die, if that's what it took. And now, the last question mentioned five matters by which the Sahaba may be excused from being called to account for any of their mistakes or sins. Five matters that he mentions at the end. He said that they would be, yani, excused because of what?
One of them is maybe they give atonement for their illness or their sickness.
Okay, maybe they get some atonement, expiation because of some affliction, some calamity that had befell them. Naam.
They repented?
Their repentance. First and foremost, that, yani, they would have repented. These are the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. If they made any mistake or error or anything, they would have repented from it. Naam. What else?
They did good deeds that erased their evil.
They had good deeds, yani, that, yani, al-hasanat al-mahiyah. Good deeds that remove evil deeds. Good deeds that remove evil deeds. A third, a fourth, I mean? From their praiseworthy characteristics is their knowledge, their beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. But from the things that eliminate sins, now?
It was forgiven for their precedence.
Okay, for their precedence, yani the excellent deeds that they did, yani as the first and foremost amongst the people who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're supporting the Prophet and defending the Prophet and supporting the deen and so on. That this would be a means of forgiveness for them. And naam, fadl. Yeah. The intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that five? Five, tayyib. And there are other things, I mean, as well. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah and other places mention things that, due to which sins would be expiated or removed. Now, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at, in Arabic, page 19, starting from page 119, the next to the last chapter. And in English, from page 207. This chapter is entitled Al-Imanu بكرامات أولياء الله الصالحين المتقين. And having faith, having iman in the karamat of the awliya of Allah, الصالحين, the righteous, the متقين, the people of taqwa. This is the title that has been given to this chapter, not by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, but that's the title that came with the sharh of this book. And if anybody read the chapter in advance, if anybody read the chapter in advance, what could you tell us? If anybody read the chapter in advance. If nobody read it, you won't be able to tell us anything. Did anybody read it in advance? Quietly? Allahu Akbar. So from the beneficial ways of learning is that a person who's studying a book, that they should always, before they come to the lesson, preview the lesson. Always preview the lesson. Read it in advance. So that you have an overview of what is going to be discussed in the lesson. And then listen attentively, especially to those things when you read it that you weren't sure what they meant, or what was intended, or what is the meaning of what you read. And then thirdly, yani, that you review after the lesson. You go back and read it again. This is a really beneficial method of learning, that you preview the lesson beforehand. Whoever had read this lesson beforehand, they would have known that there are two topics in this chapter. The title of this chapter is one of them. And the second topic is another topic completely different, separate, distinct from this topic. And there's no real relation between them in terms of the subject matter itself. And for that reason, because of the importance of both of these topics, I felt the need to separate them. And as most of the scholars who explained Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah separated them into two different chapters. And each of them have their own importance, and even though the Shaykh only and he discusses them briefly, but I still think it's important that we separate them and look at one topic at a time and try to benefit from each of them yani independently. For that reason, I'm going to read the first paragraph of the text of this chapter, which is the first topic. And that's the one that we're going to concentrate on tonight. When we look at the Sharh, we're going to look at what the Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah said about this first paragraph. Yani that is the karamat of the awliya of Allah. The second topic deals with the methodology of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The methodology of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he mentions like a number of things, including three basic principles, that is following the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma'ah. And that topic is a separate topic altogether. Inshallah, the Shaykh talks about it very little, but we're gonna like take it as a separate topic next week. So we're gonna read yani we're gonna read the chapter, but we're only gonna discuss the explanation of the first part of this chapter. Going to read the whole text, and then next week, inshallah, we look at the explanation of the second part. All right, I hope that it's clear. In other words, this chapter contains two topics. We're going to read both of them, but we're only going to discuss the explanation of one of them. So, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he says, وَمِنْ أُصُولِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ التَّصْدِيقِ بِكَرَامَةِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَمَا يُجْرِ اللَّهُ عَلَى أيديهم من خوارق العادات في أنواع العلوم والمكاشفات وأنواع القدرة والتأثيرات. And in my book it says والمأثور, and some of the other books, يعني copies of the Aqidah Wasatiyah says كاف, يعني instead of واو it has كاف, كالمأثور عن سالفي الأمم في سورة كاف وغيرها وأن صدر هذه الأمة من الصحابة والتابعين وساري فرق وقرون الأمة. In most of the books, Sheikh Salih Fawzan and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and others, the word instead of firq al-umma is qurun al-umma. In any case, the meaning is not any completely something different, but وهي موجودة فيها إلى يوم القيامة. يعني من أصول أهل السنة, يعني from the fundamentals, foundation, fundamental principles of أهل السنة, is at-tasdiq, yani confirming the truthfulness, the reality, the fact of the existence of karamat al-awliya, that there are some occurrences or some events that Allah caused yani to occur at the hands of the awliya of Allah, believing that this is true, that this does exist, it did exist and it continues to exist. Yani at-tasdiq, believing in the truthfulness of the karamat of the awliya of Allah. Wama yujri Allahu ala aydihim min khawarik al-adat. Yani what Allah caused to happen, yani at the hands of the awliya of Allah, yani from those things that go outside of the adat, yani that which is normal, outside of that which is normal. Yani khawarik al-adat has been translated in different ways by different people, and I myself prefer to translate it as any extraordinary events. Extraordinary, any something out of the ordinary, out of the norm. Although sometimes it's translated as supernatural and other words like this, but there's some connotations there that any are not really intended here. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about some events or some any occurrences that Allah caused to happen. Any, no, the person didn't do it themselves, but Allah caused it to happen for them, or with them, or through them. Any khawarif al-adat, those things which are outside of the norm, outside of what we know to be occurring from human beings in this world. He said, and then in the English translation, this part of this chapter, this part of this paragraph is not translated at all. Yani the two types of khawarif al-adat. In the English, somehow it's just left out. So he said that believing in the karamat of the awliya of Allah and what Allah caused to happen at their hands from those things that are outside of the norm, the normal things that we know from the human beings, that occur from human beings. Fi anwa'i al-ulum wal-mukashifat. Yani those, the first division of the khawarik al-adat, those things that are extraordinary or extraordinary are different types of knowledges and mukashafat, yani things that are disclosed or made manifest or made known to someone, not made known to other people. Yani mukashafat means something was manifest, was shown to somebody that wasn't shown to other people. So there's ulum and there's mukashafat. There's knowledge that's given to somebody that's not given to other people. And there's things that are made manifest or shown to someone that's not shown to other people. That's the first type of kawarik al-adat. The second type is anwa al-qudra wa ta'athirat. And so there's also another type of kawarik al-adat, those things that are outside of the norm, that are extraordinary, and that is certain powers that are given to someone, to people, that are not normal for the human being. Wa ta'athirat, yani effects or influences, some type of effect that doesn't normally occur from the human being. He said, like that which has been transmitted, or that which has been transmitted, al-ma'athur an salaf al-umam, fi surat al-kaf wa ghayriha, that which has been transmitted from the previous nations, the early generations of the previous nations, mentioned in surat al-kaf, the 18th surah of the Quran, or other than it, in other surahs. وَأَنْ صَدْرِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ مِنَ السَّحَابَ وَالتَّابِينَ. And likewise, not just from the previous nations, but also that which occurred from those who were, yani the first generations of this ummah, صَدْرِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, meaning the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Some of these events, or these things occurred also at the hands of certain companions of the Prophet, or the Tabi'een. وَسَعَرِ الْفِرَقْ الْأُمَّةِ, and the other groups of this ummah, or قُرُون الْأُمَّةِ, yani the later generations of this ummah, after the Sahaba and Tabi'een, وَهِيَ مَوْجُودَةٌ فِيهَا إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and these events, or these occurrences that are extraordinary, will be present in this ummah until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And in other words, these are things that occurred from the earlier generations, they are things that occurred in the time of the Prophet ﷺ with the Sahaba and after them the Tabi'een, and there are things that will continue to occur in this ummah until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani some extraordinary occurrences or events. And I'm going to take a minute here before I read the sharh of the Shaykh. I'm going to read the rest of this chapter just quickly, very very quickly, because we're going to deal with this topic next week, but just to complete yani the reading of the text. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah goes to the second topic and he says, ثُمَّ مِنْ طَرِيقَةَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ اتِّبَاعَ آثَارَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا وَاتِّبَاعَ سَبِيلَ السَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَاتِّبَاعَ وَصِيَّةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَيْثُ قَالَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ وَالْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وعدوا عليها بالنواجذ وياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. And this is the first part of the second topic. He said, after that, he said that from the tariqah, the way or the methodology or the path of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is ittiba, adhering to, strictly adhering to the athar of Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani those things that have been narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah. Batinan wa zahiran, yani inwardly and outwardly, adhering to the sunnah, not just in the way that we dress or the way that we appear, but adhering to the sunnah inwardly in the matters of the heart. He said the second matter, ittiba sabil al-sabiqin al-awwalin, yani also adhering to, strictly following the path of the first and foremost from amongst this ummah, that is the muhajirin and the ansar. وَاتِّبَاعَ وَسِيَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and also strictly adhering to and following the advice of the Messenger of Allah when he said, it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas from after me, hold tight to it, yani عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِ, yani like the way you yani bite on your molar teeth, yani strictly, yani adhere to it tightly, yani closely, and then beware of newly invented matters, for indeed every newly invented matter is an innovation and every innovation is misguidance. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah continues this topic that we're going to talk about in detail next week. He says, وَيَعْلَمُونَ, yani the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they know that The astaqal kalam, kalamullah. The most truthful of speech is the speech of Allah. Wa khayru hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they know that the best of speech, the most truthful of speech, is the speech of Allah. And they know that the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of that, yu'athiruna kalamullah ala ghayrihi min kalam asnaf al-nas. For that reason, they give precedence and preference to the speech of Allah, to the speech of Allah, over, yani, the speech of all types of people, yani, of everyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُقَدِّمُونَ حَجَّ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى حَدِّ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ. And they also, yani, put forward first, yani, give preference to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم over the guidance of anyone, of every other person. وَلِهَذَا سَمُّونَ. It is for this reason, yani, that they give preference and precedence to the speech of Allah and the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلِهَذَا سُمُّوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. For this reason they are named or called or known as the Ahli al-Kitabi wa-Sunnah. Yani the people who give preference and precedence to the Book of Allah, the speech of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. وَسُمُّوا أَهْلَ الْجَمَاعِ. And they are also known as Ahlul Jama'ah. لِأَنَّ الْجَمَاعِ هِيَ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ وَدِدُّهَا الْفُرْقَةِ. And this is because they are also called Ahlul Jama'ah because the jama'ah is al-ijtima'ah. The jama'ah here, what is meant by it, is gathering together. The people coming together. And its opposite is the people separating from one another. Even though this expression al-jama'ah eventually became a name for those people who were gathering together. What is meant by jama'ah is the people who are gathering together. This became a name that they are known by, yani the people who gather together upon the truth. Then he says, well, ijma, and here the English translation says unity, and this is absolutely wrong, and it's like misleading and even confusing to me, yani, to understand what could be intended by that. Well, ijma, he now, after he talked about the Quran and the Sunnah as being the sources of guidance, he says, well, ijma, and also the third principle is al ijma, that is when there is agreement, total agreement, unanimity of the, yani, of the scholars of Islam upon a particular religious, yani Islamic Sharia matter. Well, ijma huwa al-asl al-thalith, is the third foundation after the Quran and Sunnah. Alladhi yu'tamad alayhi fil ilm wad-deen, that is the, yani relied upon or turned to in knowledge and in religion. Wa hum yazinuna, and he's saying the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah yazinuna bihadhihi al-usul al-thalatha jami'a ma alayhi an-nas min al-aqwal wa a'mal batinatin wa zahiratin. And they, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yani judge and weigh, yani by these three principles, the Quran and Sunnah and Ijma', everything that the people are upon, whether it's their speech or actions, inwardly or outwardly, from those things that are connected to the deen, from religious matters. Well, Ijma' الذي ينضبط هو ما كان عليه السلف الصالح إذ بعدهم كثر الاختلاف وانتشر في الأمة, or probably what's more correct, in most of the narrations of the book it has, وانتشرت الأمة. Yani, يعني كثر الاختلاف وانتشرت الأمة. So he's saying here that the ijma that is relied upon, that is accurate, is that which the ijma of the Salaf al-Salih, meaning the first three generations of the Muslims. This is the ijma that can be relied upon, that can be accurate, that a person can be sure that it did occur. And the reason for that is because after the first three generations, كثر الاختلاف, يعني the people had lots of opinions following their desires. And so there were many differences amongst them. Whereas the first generation, the people were sincere to Allah, and so they were in agreement. And they had knowledge of the Islam, so they were in agreement mostly. Whereas afterwards, كَفَرَتْ اِخْتِلَافِ, yani the different opinions were many, وَانْتَشَرَتْ الْأُمَّةِ, and the ummah was spread out, yani throughout the lands. So it was difficult to be able to really establish that there is some, yani ijma'. So this is the second topic. We're going to talk about this topic next week. Tonight, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we're going to just look at, yani the first paragraph where Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that from the fundamental principles, foundations of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah is that we believe in the truthfulness, the reality of Karamat al-Awliya, Awliya Allah. Here I want to say that some of the scholars said that Awliya, as we know, is the plural of Wali, and the meaning of Al-Walaya, Al-Walaya is loyalty, and it's the opposite of Al-Adawa. The meaning of Walaya is loyalty, and it is the opposite of adawa, meaning enmity. So walaya, yani its core meaning is love and closeness. And al-adawa, its core meaning is the opposite, hatred and distance. So the awliya of Allah are those who love Allah and who Allah loves, and who are close to Allah, yani because of their iman and taqwa. As Allah mentions in the Quran that the awliya of Allah are those who have iman and taqwa. So these are people that love Allah and are loved by Allah and are close to Allah. And the wali, or the awliya of Allah, has been translated in various different ways. The allies of Allah, I think that's the word that's used in the English translation here in our book. And some translate as the friends of Allah in other translations. I don't know if there's any a translation that really any is the best of them. But what is clear is that the awliya of Allah, or the wali of Allah, is the person who has iman and taqwa. And that's what's clear. The person who has iman and taqwa. So the awliya of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has caused from the previous nations, from the early generations of this nation, and those who came after them until Yawm al-Qiyamah, some yani extraordinary occurrences or events at the hands of the awliya of Allah for various reasons. From amongst them is to strengthen the wali, from amongst them is to support the deen, and so on, and to also affirm the prophet who the wali is following. And it's also a confirmation of the prophethood of the prophet that he's following, yani through these yani extraordinary events that are outside of the norm that Allah causes to happen to whomever he wills. The Shaykh says that there are two types of them, and again in the English translation that I mentioned, so we want to just look at it just quickly again. Anwa' al-ulum wal-mukashafat. The first type is different types of al-ulum wal-mukashafat, yani knowledge and things that are made manifest. Yani knowledge that's given to someone that's not given to others. Or things that are manifested to somebody that other people don't see, or they don't hear, or they don't experience. And the second type is anwa' al-qudra wa ta'athirat. Yani certain abilities or power or effects, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani causes to occur for the wali of Allah. And this, he says, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, this has been conveyed to us. Examples of it is that which has been conveyed to us from the early generations in Surah Al-Kahf, and other than that, and from the early generation of this ummah, from the Sahaba and Tabi'een, and from the rest of the generations of this ummah, or the peoples of this ummah, and it's something that will be present until Yawm Qiyamah. From the explanation of the Shaykh, which is relatively brief, well, before I read the explanation, let me just read some notes that may be helpful to us, yani maybe better than what I have said, yani concerning these terminologies here. Al-Imam, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, in his explanation about Al-Aqid Al-Wasatiyya, he says concerning these expressions that have not been translated in the English translation, they were not translated. He says, "Fi anwa' al-ulum wal-mukashafat wa anwa' al-qudra wa ta'athirat," yani the two different types of the karamat of the awliya of Allah. He said this, ishara ila anna al-karama minha ma yakunu min bab al-ilm wal-kashf bi an yasma' al-abd ma la yasma'uhu ghayra ma la yasma'uhu ghayru aw yara ma la yarahu ghayruhu yaqzatan aw manaman aw ya'lamu ma la ya'lamuhu ghayru. ومنها, that's the first type, ومنها ما هو من باب القدرة والتأثير. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says that this expression, the different types of ulum and mukashafat and different types of qudra and ta'athirat, he said this is an indication or yani an allusion to the fact that the karama is of two different types. So from amongst the karamat are those which are from the perspective of knowledge and kashf, yani things that are made manifest, or yani made known, or unveiled to some person or people, not to others. And that is, that a person hears something that others didn't hear, or he sees something that others don't see, whether it is while he is awake or in his sleep, or he knows something that others don't know. And the Shaykh gives some examples of these things. The second type is that which is from the bab or the yani perspective of al-qudra wa ta'athir, yani the power or abilities or effects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani causes to occur at the hands of the wali of Allah. So of the first type, yani the first type of the karamat is al-ulum wal-mukashifat. So what does this mean? Yani a karama that's from the first type of having knowledge that others don't have, or something being made manifest to a person, he sees or he hears something that other people didn't see or hear. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, مثال النوع الأول قول عمر يا ساريا الجبل. Yani the first type, yani of karama, which is from the bab of ilm and kashf, he said it is, this is from the mukashifat, he said it is the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. And he called out to one of the leaders of the armies who was being yani, surrounded by the enemy unknowingly. And Umar, it was made known to him. Allah made him see the enemy getting ready to attack the army in another country, in Iraq. While he was giving the khutbah on the minbar in Medina, he saw the army being surrounded. And he called out to the leader of the army and told him, take to the mountain. And he protect yourself by going to the mountain. And that protected them and saved them. So not only did Umar see something that other people didn't see, he's given the khutbah on Jummah. And everybody's there. Nobody saw what he saw. But he also called out to the leader of the army. And the leader of the army heard him calling out to him, heard his instruction and adhered to it. This is a karama, yani from the bab of what? Kashf. That Allah unveiled to him, made him to see something that other people didn't see. From the other side of the first type, yani knowledge, he says, إخبار أبي بكر رضي الله عنه بأن ببطن زوجته أنثى. Yani that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any modern equipment and machinery that they have today, that his wife was pregnant with a female, with a girl. And this is knowledge that's given to somebody that wasn't given to other people. He also said, the story of Sahib Musa, وَعِلْمِهِ بِحَالَ الْغُلَامِ Yani the Khadr, who Musa traveled with, and he said that he killed the boy because he knew that that boy was going to grow up and be a problem for his parents. This was knowledge that he had been given that others were not given, not even Musa. And Musa is a prophet. So these are the examples that Sheikh Salih Fawzan gave for the first type of karamat. And then he says also an example of the second type is قصة الذي علم من الكتاب وإتياني بعرش بالقيس إلى سليمان عليه السلام. Yani the story of the one who had been given knowledge of the book and his bringing the throne of Bilqis to Sulaiman عليه السلام. Yani the ability, the power to do so was something that was given as a karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says also the قصة أهل الكهف, yani the story of the people of the cave who yani were not affected as people are normally affected. For 300 years they slept in a cave and they were not harmed by the heat or the cold. They were not harmed yani by they were not harmed by anything that was happening in the world around them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they didn't even become bored from sleeping for 300 years. Yani this was a karama that Allah had given to them because of their iman and taqwa, because they were escaping from their people who were upon shirk, and Allah allowed them to be protected and preserved sleeping in the cave for more than 300 years until the people of shirk were gone and they were safe and they returned to the yani society, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them yani to die. He said also the qissa of Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu lamma shariba sam wa lam yahsul lahu minhu darar. Yani the story of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu when he drank some poison and it didn't cause him any harm. Yani there was no effect from that poison that should have, yani, normally killed someone. And so the scholars have also mentioned other examples. These are some of the examples that's mentioned here. Just quickly, I want to just read a point here from Shaykh Muhammad al-Sari Uthaymeen rahimahullah in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah. He says concerning the first type of karamat, al-ulum wal-mukashifat, he says, yani al-karama tanqasam ila qismain. Qism yata'allak bil-ulum wal-mukashifat, wa qism akha yata'allak bil-qudra wa ta'athirat. So he said that the karamat, yani this statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, indicates that the karamat, these, yani, extraordinary events or occurrences that Allah caused to happen for the wali of Allah, they are divided into two divisions. One division is connected to knowledge and, yani, things that are made manifest to someone, not to others, and the other one is connected to power and ability and the effects, yani, or lack of it, that may, yani, occur for the wali of Allah. He says that as far as the first type, yani, of the first category, al-ulum, he said it is that a person attains some knowledge that other people did not have, some special knowledge that Allah gave to him. And he said the example of that is the example of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that Allah caused him to see, to know what was in the womb of his wife, that, yani, she was pregnant with a girl. The second part of the first type is al-mukashifat. He says, فَأَنْ يَظْهَرْ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ الَّتِي يَكْشِفْ لَهُ عَنْهَا مَا لَا يَحْصُلِ غَيْرِهِ. Yani that something is made to appear to him. Yani it is, yani, uncovered for the wali of Allah. Yani that it didn't occur or appear or was not uncovered to others. Example of that, he says, is the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab when he was given the khutbah on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The people during his khutbah heard him say, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. And they were amazed at him saying this. And they asked him about it. And he said, it was unveiled to me concerning Sariya ibn Zanim, yani one of the leaders of the armies in Iraq that he had sent, yani that he was being surrounded by the enemy. So I directed him to the mountain. And I said to him, Ya Sariya. And they were amazed, like, who is he talking to? What is he talking about? And he said that, yani, فَسَمِيَ سَارِيَ, he heard his voice, the voice of Umar, and he took, yani, to the mountain to protect himself and the army that he was the leader over. After this, I'm going to go back to the explanation of the Shaykh for this first part of the topic and finish with this. So, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says in the explanation of this first matter, that is the karamat of the awliya of Allah, he says that من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة كما قال المؤلف أبو العباس شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله التصديق بكرامات الأولياء. يعني that from the fundamentals of the أهل السنة والجماعة, as the مؤلف, the author, العباس شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية said, from the fundamentals of Ahl Sunnah is at-tasdiq, to testify to the truthfulness, to the reality of the karamat of the awliya of Allah. Here I just want to make a note. Shaykh Saleh Fawzan Hafidhullah mentions in some detail a point here that I just want to make a note of, just to kind of keep it and in mind as we go through this explanation. He says that the people are divided into three groups concerning the karamat of the awliya of Allah. People are divided into three groups. And those who reject them outright, like the Mu'tazila and others from others like them, don't accept at all that there's any karamat for the awliya of Allah. And they give some reasoning that there wouldn't be any way to distinguish the awliya of Allah from the anbiya, or something like this. The second group are those who accept everything. Yani anything that's done that is outside of the norm, whether it's done through magic or from the shayateen or other than that, they accept all of this and claim that this is from the karamat of the awliya of Allah. And the third group is the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he said this is the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we affirm, but we affirm, yani, that which is confirmed, and in accordance with that which came in the Qur'an and Sunnah. Yani that which is in accordance with the guidelines of Qur'an and Sunnah, and that means that it would have to have been done, as the Shaykh is going to explain now, by someone who is from the awliya of Allah. Yani someone from the people of Iman and Taqwa. Not by a person who's corrupt and disobedient and sinful. It has to be done Yani in order for it to be accepted by Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, it has to be something that's within the realm of what is what Allah has established in the Quran and Sunnah by a person who is upon the deen. So the Shaykh, he says here that from the fundamentals of Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah is the tasdeeq, to confirm the truthfulness and the reality of the karamat, of the awliya of Allah. وَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ that which Allah has mentioned concerning them. And there are lots of mentions of things in the Quran, as well as the Shaykh is, وَمَا ذَكَرَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا جَرَى بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ the karamat of the awliya of Allah, from amongst them, are that which Allah has mentioned, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf and other than Surah Al-Kahf. And from the Shaykh, we already mentioned, from amongst the karamat of the previous nations is the the story of the people of the cave, the people who slept in the cave for 300 years. And other than that, from Maryam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled to shake the trunk of a palm tree and cause dates to fall. And if anybody has seen a real palm tree, you don't shake the trunk of a palm tree and make anything fall. And other than that, so the Shaykh, he says, that which, from that which Allah has mentioned concerning them, and that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned concerning them, and that which occurred after that, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And here I want to note that I don't know if Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah mentioned this. In any case, some of the scholars mentioned that these karamat of the awliya of Allah mentioned in the Sunnah, and from amongst the places in the Sunnah is the chapter of the Prophets, Kitab al-Anbiya in Sahih al-Bukhari, that which has been mentioned concerning the Bani Israel. And from amongst the hadith that are mentioned in Bukhari, from karamat in that chapter, are some amazing hadith. From amongst them is the hadith of the people who were escaping from some rain and ran into a cave, and the boulder came down and locked them into the cave, and each of them mentioned something that they did sincerely for the sake of Allah to come out of it. And this is from the hadith that I mentioned in the book of the Prophets in Sahih al-Bukhari. And from amongst them is a less probably well-known story, the story of the lady who was breastfeeding her baby, an infant child who's breastfeeding. And a man came by on a horse, and the lady said, "Oh Allah, don't let my child die until he's like that man." And the child stopped breastfeeding and said, "Oh Allah, don't make me like that man." And then he went back to breastfeeding. And then some people were dragging a lady and ridiculing her, accusing her falsely of zina and stealing. And she was saying, "Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me." And the mother saw that lady and she said, "Oh Allah, don't make my child like that lady." And the child stopped breastfeeding, said, "Oh Allah, make me like that lady." And then went back to breastfeeding. And the famous story that's also narrated is the story of the man who killed 99 people and then 100. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he died, caused the earth to shrink, to make him nearer to the place that he was going to, so that when the angels disputed about who would take him, then he was closer to the place that he was going to repent to, and so he was given the mercy of Allah and admitted into paradise. And so some of these stories that are mentioned there are known, and some of them are not so well known, but there are some interesting stories mentioned in this chapter that's worth going back to Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Anbiya, and reading from the subtitle of what has been mentioned concerning Bani Israel. Here the Shaykh says he mentions here that the karamat is from that which Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in the authentic hadith, and that which occurred after that. That has been reported through reliable sources. Then he defines al-karama hiya al-khariq lil-ada. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah himself mentions the definition in the first paragraph of this chapter. He says, "التصديق بكرامات الأولياء وما يجري الله على أيديهم من خوارق العادات." Yani, that those things that Allah caused to happen, Allah caused them to occur, yani for the awliya of Allah, yani which are things which are outside of the norm, yani of what we normally know, yani from the what happens in this world. The Shaykh, he gives the definition here, yani which is basically the same, except he doesn't mention the part which is very important, that is something that Allah caused to happen. It's not something that a person themselves are able to do. Like a magician, he uses some magic to make something happen. No, this is something that the wali, he doesn't make it happen. Allah makes it happen. And it's something that is extraordinary, yani unusual, beyond that which we are used to in this world. So he said, the karama here, al-khariq lil-aada, something that goes beyond, that goes outside of the norm. Yajri ala aydihim, shay'un yakhruqu al-aada, yani something happens at the hands of the wali, which is outside of the norm. Laysa fil aada wujuduhu ala yad al-makhluq, yani normally, yani from what we are used to normally, this is something that doesn't happen from the created beings. It's not something that you see human beings doing normally. The Shaykh says, and here is his his limiting what is accepted as a karama. He says, يُقَالُ لَهَا كَرَامَ إِذَا كَانَ الشَّخْص مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ يعني من المؤمنين الصادقين. That it is called a karama if the person who it occurs through is from the awliya of Allah, meaning from amongst the believers, the people who are truthful, the people of iman and taqwa. If it is from that person, then that extraordinary event could be called a karama. فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ, but if it's from other than the mu'mineen, as-sadiqeen, yani the people of iman and taqwa, the truthful, فَهُوَ خَوَارِقْ السَّهَرَ وَمِنْ خَوَارِقْ هُوَ مِنْ خَوَارِقْ السَّهَرَ وَمِنْ خَوَارِقْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. So if it is from other than the people of iman and taqwa, then yani it is still an extraordinary event, but it's a yani an extraordinary event that is outside of the ordinary, that is done by the magicians or done yani by the shayateen. Amma ma kana ala yad al-mu'minin fahada min karamat al-awliya. He said, as far as that which is yani occurs from the believers, yani by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what occurs at the hands of the believers, then this is from what we consider to be the karamat of the awliya. وَلَا تَكُونُ قَرَامَ إِلَّا إِذَا عُرِفَ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ. And likewise, it is not to be considered a karama unless it occurs at the hands of someone who is known for uprightness. Yani a person who is upright upon the deen of Allah. Person is known to be, yani, adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is like what was said by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, in another place in his book, Al-Furqan, Bayna Awliya al-Rahman wa Awliya al-Shaytan, yani the criterion for judging between those who are truly the awliya of al-Rahman, Allah, and those who are the awliya of al-Shaytan. In that book he said, لَوْ طَارَ فِي الْهَوَى أَوْ مَشَى عَلَى الْمَا مَا يَعُدُّ وَمَا يُعِدُّ وَلِيًّا. Yani, so if the person flies in the air or walks across the water, that person will not be considered a wali. حَتَّى يُوزَنَ بِمِزَانَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ, until that person is weighed, yani judged, by the scales of Quran, of the book and the sunnah, the Quran and sunnah. Yani even if you saw a person flying in the air or walking across the surface of the water, that person should not be considered yani as a wali of Allah until yani they are judged to be in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. فَإِنْ اسْتَقَامَ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ الشَّيْطَانِ. So if yani it becomes yani manifest that he is upright upon the book and the sunnah, in a person who has iman and taqwa, who's living in accordance with the Quran and sunnah, then he is to be considered as from the awliya of Allah, and otherwise, then he is from the awliya of ash-shaytan. And if you see a person doing something extraordinary, something that's outside of the norm, and that person is a sinful person, a wicked person, a kafir or otherwise, then we know that these are from the awliya of ash-shaytan. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in Surah 2, Anfal, 8th Surah, 34th Ayat, وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ إِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. Yani they were not, he's talking about the mushrikeen, they were not the awliya. Yani some of the scholars of tafsir said awliya'uhu could mean awliya of Allah or awliya of al-masjid al-haram. And in the masjid. And the mushriks who were in charge of the sacred masjid. He said, but they are not the awliya of Allah. They are not the awliya of the masjid. They are not the people who have the right to be in charge of the sacred masjid. For indeed, its awliya, meaning the awliya of Allah, the awliya of the masjid, are only the people of taqwa. Are only the people of taqwa. And in another place, which is even more clear, and in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 62nd and 63rd ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Yani that indeed the awliya of Allah, there is no fear for them, nor will they grieve. They are those who have iman, the people of iman. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The people who have iman and the people who observe taqwa of Allah. Here, yani the Shaykh is mentioning this ayah to give us a clear yani identification of who the awliya of Allah, that their yani primary characteristics, the awliya of Allah, are the people who have iman and taqwa. Then he says, وَمِنْهُمْ أَهْلُ الْكَهْفِ أَكْرَمُهُمُ اللَّهِ 300 years نُوَّمْ وَازْدَادُوا 9 ثم أماتهم الله بعد ذلك هذه آية من آيات الله لإيمانهم وتقواهم جعلهم الله آية وعبرة. يعني that from amongst the awliya of Allah, the people of iman and taqwa, are the people who were يعني the ahl al-kahf, يعني the ashab al-kahf, the people who, the young men who went into the cave to escape the shirk of their people and their society. Allah honored them. Yani he allowed them to escape from the shirk of their society, and then he yani caused them to sleep for 309 years, and then he caused them to die after that yani after yani they escaped from the shirk. And he said this is an ayah from the ayat of Allah. And here I just want to make a note that the karama is the extraordinary, amazing feat or occurrence at the hands of the awliya of Allah. And most of the books mention that for the prophets, this extraordinary or amazing event is called a mu'jiza. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says that more properly so in the language of the Quran. Yani these amazing events that take place at the hands of the prophets should be referred to as an ayah. Yani they are signs from Allah as opposed to mu'jiza. And he has some discussion about that, which yani, this is not the place for it, but the point is that here yani al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these young men a sign from the signs of Allah due to their iman. He says due to their iman and their taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them a sign, and he made them a lesson. And probably the lessons are many, and the lessons of these young men are many. From amongst the lessons, though, what is obvious is that they were young people in a society of people who had gone astray, people who were upon shirk. And even though they were young people, yani Allah blessed them to be able to see the error of their people. Yani they weren't old people who had life experience, they were young people. And yet, they were not misguided by the society they were in. And they were not afraid to escape from their society and seek refuge in Allah. And Allah protected them. From the clearest, yani of the lessons of this story of the people of the cave, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. No matter who a person may be, rich or poor, young or old, yani if a person turns to Allah, Allah is able, easy, it's easy for Allah to protect them. And this is a sign and a lesson yani for whoever would reflect upon it. He said, وَكَمَا جَرَى لِعُبَادِ إِبْنِ بِشْرٍ وَأُسَيِّدِ إِبْنِ حُدَيْرٍ الصَّحَابِيَيْنِ الْجَلِيلَيْنِ فِي أَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم خَرَجَ مِنْ عِنْدِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُظْلِمَةٍ فَأَضَاعَتْ لَهُمَا أَصْوَاتُهُمَا كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ صَارَ صَوْتُهُ سَرَاجًا يُنِيرُ لَهُ الطَّرِيقَ حَتَّى وَصَلَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ. Yani another example of the awliya of Allah and the karama that Allah yani caused to occur at their hands was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which occurred to Ubad ibn Bishr and Usayd ibn Hudayr radiyallahu anhuma, two noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his lifetime, they went out from his presence. Yani they left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very dark night, and their whips were illuminated, yani became lights. Each one of them, his whip became like a lamp that illuminated the way, the road, so that he could see in that darkness, until each one of them reached his home or reached his family. And this is from the karamat that occurred during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he mentions one other yani incident during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when min dhalika qissat Tufail ad-Dawsi ra'is ad-Daws radiyallahu anhu lamma aslama ta'akhkhara alayhi qawmuhu. Yani the story of Tufail ad-Dawsi, who was the leader of the tribe, of his tribe. When he entered Islam, his people delayed in entering Islam. Yani they didn't immediately follow. قَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قُدْعُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لِي آيَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, supplicate to Allah and ask Him to make a sign for me that perhaps they will be guided. Yani give me a sign that will be the means or the cause for them to be guided to Islam. فَسَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ آيَةً يَحْتَدِي بِهَا قَوْمُهُ. So Allah asked, the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah to make a sign for him that his people yani would be guided by it. فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ مِثْلَ السَّرَاجِ لَمَّا أَتَى قَوْمَهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made like a lamp or a light in front of, between his eyes or in front of him, from his face. فَقَالَ يَا رَبِّي فِي غَيْرِ وَجْهِ. So he said, when he came to his people, there was a light there, and he said to his people, yani, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my Rabb, yani make the light to come from other than my face. فَجَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ فِي سَوْتِهِ. So Allah made the light to be in his whip. إِذَا رَفَعَ سَوْتَهُ أَنَارَ نُورًا فَهَدَ اللَّهُ بِهِ قَوْمَهُ بِأَسْبَابِهِ. So whenever he would lift up, he would raise up his whip, it would be illuminated. Yani it would become a light. And by means of this, by this means of this sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him, Allah guided his people to Islam. وَجَاءَ بِهِمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. So he came with them now, after they had entered into Islam. The Shaykh closes by saying, وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّ الشَّيْءَ الْخَارِقُ لِلْعَادَةِ إِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُهُ مُتَّقِيًا لِلَّهِ مَعْرُوفًا بِالْخَيْرِ فَهِيَ قَرَامَةٌ وَهُمْ يَتَّبِعُونَ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ مِنْ مَخَارِيقِ السَّهْرَةِ وَالشَّيَاطِينِ. Yani what is intended here, or yani the summary of the matter, is that the thing that is outside of the norm, that is an extraordinary event or occurrence that goes outside of what normally occurs in this world for the created beings, if the one that it occurs for is a person who is observing taqwa of Allah, and that person is known for khair, for goodness, yani for Islam, for practicing Islam, for believing yani in what Islam, what the Prophet ﷺ came with. If a person is from the people of taqwa and known for goodness, then this occurrence or this event that is unusual, that is yani extraordinary, then it should be considered as a karama. And the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah yattabi'un fi hadha al-kitab wa sunnah, yani the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah yani follow in this affair, in this matter, and in determining yani the people who are the awliya of Allah and the events that are considered as karamat of the awliya of Allah. Yani the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah follow the Quran and Sunnah in this affair. So if it is contrary to that, yani in kana bi khilafi dhalika, yani that the person is not from the people of taqwa, and yani they are not from the people who are upon the Quran and Sunnah, then this would be, this event or this occurrence, yani which is outside of the norm, would be considered from these yani events that are caused at the, or that are done by the magicians and the shayateen. Naam. Okay, so we're going to, that's the end of the explanation of this first part of the chapter. Inshallah, we're going to stop with this. And just remind you that next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with this chapter. And we're going to read from the second part of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions concerning the three principles, the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma', and the Shaykh's explanation of that. And perhaps we may, yani, since it's not a lengthy explanation, bring some other points from some other explanations. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone and in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Allah and He recognize, reward, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon and forgive them and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick. And we see our brother yani who has been ill or returning to us. May Allah yani increase your good health, and may Allah shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious and admit them into His paradise and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief and comfort and to rescue the Muslims in Palestine and in other Muslim lands and in non-Muslim lands who are being persecuted and tortured and murdered by the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a protection from Himself, from above them and from below them and from behind them and from in front of them and from the right and from the left. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in patience and make them firm and grant them victory over their enemies. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.